Right, good evening. We are looking at chapter 16 of Tanya, the first part of Tanya. And if we're looking at the English edition, let's just get the page. That's page 67-68. Right, Pirkei Tzav Zayin. Pirkei Tzav Zayin. You've got that page 67-68 at the bottom. If you look at the bottom page, see the pages at the top are more confusing, but at the bottom, right, you've got the right page, and in fact the marker is there. Okay. Pirkei Tzav Zayin, chapter 60. V'zeh klal gadol ba'avodas Hashem lebeinanim. Now this is a great general rule in service Hashem for the person who is called a beinani, or someone aspiring or in the direction of being a beinani. And remember that a beinani means someone who is in a state of struggle. The only thing is that the beinani, in fact, always wins the struggle. But he or she is no less in a state of struggle than a person who doesn't win the struggle every time, and therefore is in a lower category. As you know, that in Tanya there are these different categories, and the higher level is a tzaddik, and in fact there are two levels of tzaddik. But the point about the tzaddik is that tzaddik does not have a struggle from the animal soul. The animal soul does not tempt the tzaddik to do something negative. Whereas in the case of a beinani, there is an animal soul which is a gesunte, strong, healthy animal soul. The only thing is, the beinani manages time and time again to outwit or defeat the animal soul, and therefore does not get pulled into not negative actions, not negative speech, and not even negative thoughts. Right, so that is a very wonderful level, but it's very rare. However, we're talking about people who are looking towards that level, even if we might get defeated by the animal soul quite a few times a day. Nonetheless, we are looking towards trying to be a little bit more in control. Okay, but in this chapter, he is talking about the question of inspiration or not inspiration. And that's the interesting thing. You know, sometimes people are inspired, get very inspired. Beautiful. Very, very beautiful spiritual experience. And sometimes we're not inspired. And we might go quite a long time and not be inspired. Okay, so what are we going to do about that? How does the author, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, address this question? Let's see. This is a great principle in service of Hashem for the Beinani. Ha'ikahu, the main thing is, Limshoil v'lishloit al ateva, to control, to rule over the nature shebechalal hasmoli, in the left-hand part of one's heart, which is called, so to speak, which is the seat of the animal soul. In other words, it's a force which is potentially quite a negative force inside us, but we control that. And how do we control it? Al yedei or Hashem, through a divine radiance, hameyel nefesh elokis, which shines to the divine soul, shebemoichei, in one's mind. And then when the divine soul has this inspiration of this divine radiance, it's got tremendous power, lishloit al halev, and it's able to control the heart. So in other words, we have an animal quality inside us, but if we're able to inspire the divine part of ourselves strongly enough, then that will have an influence on the animal part of us, and we'll be able to control it, and we will not be led astray by the animal dimension inside us. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the heart is normally the one that is the pulls you to the animal.
To animal things.
Yes.
That's exactly what it's saying here.
Yes.
You see, it's the heart which is pulling in what might be an emotional direction, which might be the wrong kind of emotion. Anger, for example. It's not from the mind. It's not from
no.
the seichel.
Yeah.
It's the heart which
yeah.
is churning up,
yeah.
makes you say the wrong thing, and as a result, you lose the job.
Oh, yes,
lose
the
job. So that's the power of the heart. Whereas the mind and the divine soul in the mind, if we can generate enough power for the divine soul in the mind, then it'll be able to control the heart. It'll say, and the heart will obey. You got to say it in the right way. If you say it in the right way,
I think that we're always the same person. It's just that we learn to deal with things differently as we get older. Whereas when you're young, you are quick to rise to a temper and emotion. And when you get older, you think first. You know, I'll deal with this thing without going into a real thing. Tabby with it. This is how you find it's much better.
Wonderful.
Don't you think so? Yes, it is better. Like you, so you deal with
yeah.
you're not the same person that you ever were.
Sure, the
but
situation.
Whereas you'd go into a huff over things and you speak your mind, this way you deal with it differently.
Rini, that's not because
you deal
you're
with
older.
It in a more intelligent way.
Rini, that's because you've been learning Tanya for many years.
Yes, it is, definitely.
It's got nothing to do with getting older.
It has helped.
Plenty of people who are very old are just as more irascible than they ever were.
It has helped. It's true.
Anger management.
Especially if you're a bit on the tempestuous side, it does help.
Right, so now we're talking about how we're going to inspire the divine soul. Okay, so that's the thing. We've got the divine soul in the mind, the animal soul in the heart. We want to control the animal soul, so we're going to strengthen the divine soul by inspiring it. And what are we going to think about? Kushim isboinen, right? False line down, the middle of the line. Kushim isboinen b'moicho, when we contemplate in our mind, the greatness of the infinite. You just think for the moment about the infinite greatness of Hashem. And that can have an immediate inspiring effect on a person. We'll come to the question, what happens if it doesn't? Yes? In this chapter, it talks about what happens if it doesn't have an inspiring effect on you. But for the moment, we can talk about the idea that it does. You think about the greatness of Hashem, and immediately, you know, you look up at the star-spangled sky, especially when you're not in London, where you can see the star-spangled sky. Otherwise, you just see the reflection, the London light.
It's all just laundry you're looking at.
That's right. Yeah, right. But you see this immense universe, or part of it, that Hashem has made and is continuing to keep in existence, and Hashem is infinitely beyond that. And you just have that sense of, it takes your breath away, the infinite greatness of Hashem. And this will affect lahoilid mi binosoi, that will give birth from one's understanding, ruach das, a spirit of knowledge, the yiras Hashem b'moicha. And this, and fear of Hashem in one's mind, and because of that, you're aware of the infinite greatness of Hashem. And because of that, you're going to keep the mitzvah. You know that a certain thing is wrong. It says in the Torah, or the sages tell us that it's wrong, so we're not going to do it. Even just a sort of a minor rabbinic command, we know that that is something significant in the eyes of Hashem, and because we're aware of the greatness of Hashem, we're not going to do that negative thing. We'll hold back from it. We'll control ourselves. We don't want to step over that border. Va'avas Hashem b'liboy, and love of Hashem in one's heart. B'chalal hayamini. You see, there's the left-hand part, which is the animal part, where the animal part dwells and can draw us in the wrong way. but we also have a positive, sacred, beautiful passion for Hashem, for good things, for davening, for Yom Tov. It's something enjoyable. It's something beautiful. We just had Rosh Hashanah. You know, there is a whole stream of discourses about Rosh Hashanah of Mamorim, which explain the delight that Rosh Hashanah is, the delight that blowing the shofar represents. And in fact, the delight, because this year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, which is the day of delight, we've drawn a tremendous sense of tainug, of oinug, of delight into the whole year. So the whole year is something joyful and delightful.
Is it?
Yes.
And Rosh Chodesh was that day as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, Rosh Hashanah is always...
It overrides.
Well, that's right. I mean, it takes in, it includes Rosh Chodesh as well. Because it's the new moon, and that's the day of Rosh Hashanah as well, okay. When the moon begins.
So because it's the first day of Shabbos, then it really affects the year, the whole
year? The whole
year,
yes. Oh, yes, absolutely, in a beautiful way, yes.
So which year was in the past that it was the Shabbos?
Well, I don't know. I think 19... Toshin Mem Gimel, I think, someone told
which
me.
Which is what? Is
that was 1982-83. But I'm not sure exactly, but one can check quite easily if you want to check off what happened that year.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to use the delight. We've got to feel the delight, and we've got to use it and put it into the year.
Okay,
we'll do that. So that is in terms of our awareness of Hashem keeping us back from doing something negative. You know, there's something that the Torah or the Rabbonim or someone says, it's somewhere in Jewish teaching, it's not allowed, so we don't want to do it. We feel such a closeness to Hashem, we don't want to do that wrong thing. Va'avas Hashem b'liboy, and love of Hashem in one's heart, b'chalal ha'yamini, in the right hand part of the heart, with a thirst and a love for God, b'chasheka. Now he used a whole string of words which mean love. Chasheka, with longing, b'chafetza, and desire, l'dovka boy, to cleave to God. And how do we cleave to God? B'kiyum ha'mitzvos, by keeping the mitzvos of Hashem. Whether it's a mitzvah d'oraisa from the Torah, u'drabanan, or from the sages, but Talmud Torah shekaneged kulan, and especially the learning of Torah. So keeping mitzvahs is a way of expressing our love for Hashem. Giving tzedakah, doing other mitzvahs, each mitzvah that we do, having a nice mezuzah on one's door, these are ways of expressing love for Hashem. When the Rambam divides up the mitzvahs of the Torah into different sections, so he has one section called the Book of Love, Sefer Ahava. And in that he puts certain mitzvahs like learning Torah and mezuzah, because they are expressions of love for Hashem. So you can imagine a person who is inspired in this way, every so often he or she thinks about Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, and as a result of that rolls along with this tremendous sense of beautiful inspiration. And every day is a holiday, is a party, every day is something wonderful, and the way that this person looks at the world, it's always with a warmth and with a smile and with something joyful, and always aware of where the borders are and keeping them in the right way. Right? That's a very wholesome picture that is painted over here. Now then, what happens if it doesn't work quite like that?
An off day.
Okay. The Yesa Alkein, now further, right, you've got that? The Yesa Alkein, which is 3-5 lines up from where the lines get narrow in the Hebrew. Here you, right, good. Lovely. The Yesa Alkein, and more than that, Tzorich Leda Klal Godel Ba'avoda Lebeinanim, you have to know a great general principle, another great general principle in service of God for the Beinanim. That means the person looking towards being a Beinani. Shagam im ein yad sichlo, even if the power of one's mind, v'ruach binosoi, and one's spirit of understanding, does not maseges, does not grasp the idea of the infinite greatness of God so much, lahoilid avas Hashem biskalis libay, to bring about, to bear a love of God revealed in one's heart, that one's heart should be flaming like coals of fire, v'chofetz, and longing, v'chafetzo, with longing, v'chashek, and desire, and tshuka, and yearning, bugeshes belev ledovka boy, which is really felt in the heart to cleave to God. You see, some people have a very, you know, emotion is very close to them, and they think a little bit, and they're able to switch off this very intense emotion. That's a thing that comes from Hashem, and it can be good, it can be not good, because the danger is the person can easily flick from one emotion to another. It's not necessarily such a good thing, and also it's if the person relies only on emotion, then what happens, as you say,
you
when there's
out.
An off day? That's
yes.
Right, you run out. So what happens then? Yes. So that's where you need this piece of advice that he's going to give us here, which also applies to the person who very rarely feels emotion. You know, all right, yeah, God is very great. I understand. God is infinite. God creates the whole world every moment. It doesn't make me feel a thing. Right? Someone might say that. Okay? Rak ava musateres b'moichoi. There's only a hidden love in one's mind, v'salumus liboi, and in the hidden part of one's heart. You see, this is the thing, that there is always a hidden love in one's heart and in one's mind. That's a basic inheritance as a result of being a Jewish person, that there is something that we get through the generations from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from the fact that being at Mount Sinai, these collective experiences of the Jewish people, and which then comes to anyone who converts to Judaism as well, that there is this spark of love of God which is there hidden inside one, but it may not be revealed. It's just there. It's that spark. The heart understands with its wisdom and understanding in its mind, so to speak, Gudula Sein Sof Baruch Hu, understands the greatness of the infinite. The Chula Kamei Kolei Choshev, that God is infinite, everything in front of Hashem is like nothing, mamash. And it can understand this. The only thing is, that idea does not spark off an emotion. Mm. Right? You can see that it's like two situations of a person. One is that there is an idea, and you think about the idea, wow, you know, like there it is, you feel it emotionally. And another one is like, could be the same person on another day, or maybe it's a different person. And Tanya wants to speak to everyone, that the person hears this idea, the greatness of God. I mean, the second section of Tanya talks all about the greatness of God, the way God is the essence of all existence and all the, it's an amazing thing, the second section of Tanya. The only thing is, you might have someone who knows it. Yeah, very interesting. Doesn't make me feel a thing. You know. Now here comes an interesting thing. Since we understand that God is infinite and that everything before God is like nothing, but we don't feel the inspiration exactly, Asher Alkein Yosolo Yisborach, it would be fitting before God that the soul of every living thing should be yearning for God to be cleaving to God. It's right that everything should be yearning for God and want to cleave to Him and want to be absorbed in His radiance. That's lehikalel ba'oiroi, the radiance of God, the aura of God, and to be absorbed in that radiance. And one's own soul inside one, it would be right for them to be longing for God, with yearning and longing over the page, Lutzeis min ateken hu aguf, to their longing even to leave the sheath of the body, l'dovka boy, to cleave to God. That's what they would feel if they were more sensitive. You see, so you think to yourself, if I was more sensitive, if I responded more, you know, some people have are very sensitive to certain things, you know, really turns them on. Music. Yes, you have people, you only have to play, you know, like two notes on a violin and immediately jangle someone's heart. Mm. And another person just doesn't, you know, I heard you play the two notes, but so what? So, but you think to yourself, if I was more sensitive to music, then there is this great musician playing this beautiful music on the violin, it would really make my heart respond. And if my heart responded, then I would do this and I would do that. Now in Torah, in Yiddishkeit, we know what it is we would do. We would do the mitzvah. If we felt so enthusiastic, we would be very careful not to break any negative commandments, and we'll be tremendously enthusiastic keeping the positive commandments. We can do the right thing even though we don't have exactly that emotional energy sparked off inside us.
But if somebody got like a problem,
yeah,
or he went through suffering,
yeah,
then he gets emotional anyway. And when he, you know, try to find the solution, if he's like close to God in some way, and he, as you said, he's not so sensitive, he tried to find a way, you know, that Hashem will help him, and then that's how he got emotion. If things work afterwards for him, then he feels more close to Hashem and more sensitive and more, as you said, you know, chayshek into Hashem and close to Hashem more. So through suffering, that's one thing.
Oh, you're right.
And also through learning. When you learn a lot, deeper and more, then you get emotional.
What you're describing is how a person might become, if they are, as on this part of the page,
yes,
that they don't feel,
yes,
how can we move them into the upper part of the page,
yes,
like the beginning of the chapter, where they do feel?
Yes.
And you're giving wise ideas about what makes a person feel more. Learning more Torah.
Yes.
And God forbid, if a person has suffering and difficult,
yes,
experiences, that actually makes the person mature in certain spiritual ways.
And close to Hashem.
There is, and that brings the person closer to Hashem. You're quite right.
Yes.
So we don't want to have negative things happening to us.
No.
God forbid. But the fact is that when something not perfect does happen to a person, it actually brings out a depth which is there in the person.
Can I ask a,
yes,
connection if there is one?
Yeah.
Because obviously everything's connected, but
yes,
special connection here with this state of being able to accept it and feel it and,
right,
then action it.
Yeah.
Now, where's the connection between that and the bittul? Is there a big connection?
Well, you see, when you think of the greatness of Hashem,
that
causes a bittul of the ordinary self.
Mm.
And it's when that ordinary self is in a state of bittul, which means selflessness, it becomes transparent to the deep well of love that is inside us. And then that love flows. So that's actually how it works in the first part. I mean, there are different ways of understanding it, but that's one way, that the self, which is more concerned with material things and with limited things, because you're looking at the greatness of Hashem, the self becomes suspended and it starts seeing things in proportion. That God is infinite, and that is the reality of life, and everything else, everything negative or whatever it might be, dwindles to nothing, you know, and the person's just focused on God. So that's where the bittul, the selflessness, comes in. And you've explained how the person can move themselves, or sometimes Hashem moves them through the things that happen in their life, so that they become more sensitive. But let's go back to the person who's less sensitive. So the person is less sensitive, but they can think to themselves that I am going to do what is right if I were, what I would be doing if I could feel it. If I could feel it, then I would respond in a certain way. I would do the mitzvahs, I would do this, I would do that, I would avoid doing something. And what the Tanya is telling us is that we should do this even if we don't actually feel it, because we know that this is the right thing to do. It corresponds to our deepest spiritual connection with God, which we don't feel, we're not conscious of it, but it's there. And so therefore, for us to act as if we are inspired and to do the things that a person would do, that is a correct way of a person directing themselves.
It's very difficult.
Well, it's an interesting thing.
I think it's difficult because if everything goes nicely to a person, no problem, you know, whatever he wants happening, and everything goes one after another in life, then what do you need to be so sensitive and so, okay, Hashem is there, thank God, we've got somebody to rely on, and that's it. And when you've got problems, or this, then you struggle.
All right,
struggle.
So the problem nudges you,
yeah,
that you have to like get a
I'm
little bit deeper.
I'm not saying big problem, God forbid.
Well, you see, you've got a very important point.
If a person does something because it's right to do, and they're not really feeling it, what's the value of it?
Well, you see, deep inside the person is the soul. The soul wants to do that thing. The feeling of the person, that's in the middle.
Yeah.
See, and the feelings may be more sensitive, maybe less sensitive. The soul is desperately yearning to connect with God through doing those right actions.
And very often you must say the right thing because it's not right to say that other thing. And you wouldn't say that hat looked horrible on you, would you? Because it's wrong to say that. You're hurting somebody's feelings. That inside the set, because that's the right thing to do. But what I'm trying to say is it you're not
you
really feeling. I don't know what deep is the feeling.
Just, I don't think
the right thing to do
you,
and the
or
feeling.
It's not your colour. And she says, "Well, you asked first." She says, "Would you mind if I made it? You know."
Maybe a little alteration to the hat.
Well,
the point is that deep within you, you know that you care about another person's feelings.
Oh, I see.
So you don't want to hurt the other person.
No,
that's really your deepest level in this thing.
True. You
so the fact that the hat looks funny on the other person, although there's one part of you that wants to say something about that, like,
you won't
teasingly. But you don't, because there's a deeper part of you which knows that that's wrong.
Yes.
You see, now, here we have, there's a deeper part of a person that knows that when it comes to Yom Tov, it's something special, it's something to be excited, it's something to be moved about. There are other parts of us which might, just be very lazy and not interested in anything out of the ordinary. But you say, come on, if you were more sensitive to the fact that we're coming to Yom Tov, it's something very spiritual, it's something meaningful. And you like push yourself into a more spiritual mode. Now you're saying quite rightly that's very difficult if you put it in a very beautiful way.
Yeah.
If everything is going all right, then the person is complacent. And the whole thing that Tanya wants to do is push us in that complacency.
Peaceful.
But as with Hashem, we should all have good things and be comfortable, have no problems whatsoever. Tanya wants to push us so that in that state as well, we should have a yearning and longing for Hashem.
I heard yesterday, I was in Shia and somebody spoke about Kriyat Shema.
Yes.
So everybody say Kriyat Shema, and you know it's important, and you know.
But what I heard yesterday,
Kriyat Shema,
Kriyat Shema by night before you go to bed.
Yeah.
What I heard yesterday, it was so important that when I read it, a completely different way.
Very nice.
Because it says the effect that affect the person the next day, it's how he said Shema by night.
Right.
Or the part of the body is in the Shema as well. And many other things that when I read it, so the main thing is to learn a lot about the mitzvahs that we do, you know, and then we can feel more feeling into
it. Certainly, the more we learn, the more we're able to feel, the more we're able to put ourselves into it.
I mean, you say for years, Shema, Shema, you say, but when you hear that, you say, oh, you know, all the dreams, and the Shema goes in the sky, travel, you know, all sorts of things, because it leaves you by night. Mm. So if you say Kriyat Shema, it just protects you.
Well, I think if you hear the Shema said in the talk, it really does get to you even more than you think.
No, but practically,
you want to say it even louder.
But practically, to say it at night, it's a mitzvah to do it, Kriyat Shema, before you go to bed.
Yes.
See, they're saying this, it's just a mitzvah. The Shema in shul, and there's a further Shema, but actually before one goes to bed, saying the Shema then.
Yes.
And that's in the Siddur, and it's got like a whole long thing, but the basic thing is the saying of the Shema.
Yeah.
And there's a bracha, where one speaks to Hashem and asks Hashem to put slumber on one, that to make one sleep in a good way without anything negative and without bad dreams or ideas or whatever, and in a very wholesome sleep. So that is, if one, what you're saying is that by learning more you can bring out the depth which is there in every aspect of Jewish life. There's always another little bit to learn and another little bit to experience. Let's just take this a little bit further, just a few lines. So there is this longing that is in the soul, that should be in the soul. Rak shebal kocham chayes heino, against their will, against its will, the soul is there living besoich haguf, it's within the body. Utsrurus boy kalmonus chayes, it's like bonded to the body. Veleis machshavah delhoin tfisa beklal, and the thought of one's mind and of one's soul, one's intellect, cannot grasp God at all. So one wants to be close to God, but how do we come close to God? When we grasp and are enclosed in the Torah and the mitzvahs of the Torah, like the image of embracing the king. The king is Hashem. You embrace Hashem, and what do you feel? The garments, and the garments of Hashem. You're embracing the king, and and the garments of the king are Torah and mitzvahs. And if we only felt a bit more, we would embrace the king with our whole heart and soul, and with all our effort. The Hainukiyum Tariq Mitzvahs, we would keep all the 613 mitzvahs, b'maisa, b'dibav machshava, in action, in speech, and in thought. Shehi asogos v'yadiyas ha-Torah kanal, which is the understanding that we have from Torah, as we said before. That when you think deeply about this, deep in your heart, in your mind, and then your heart and your mouth are actually equal. In other words, you are honest. Shemakayin came befit. You are doing with your mouth and with the rest of the person, you're doing what you feel, what you're thinking about in the depths of your mind, of your heart and your mind. You're going to put yourself into Torah, you're going to study Torah, but you'll learn Torah day and night with your mouth. And one's limbs, one's hands and other limbs, makaimim ha-mitzvahs, will keep the mitzvahs, kafima shenigma betunus libo emoicha, according to what you resolve in deep within you. And you are resolving that because you know that if we were more sensitive, we would feel this enthusiasm automatically just by thinking about the greatness of Hashem. All right, so I think about the greatness of Hashem, a person might say, and it doesn't have that effect on me. But I'm still going to do, I'm going to put myself into it the way that I should. I'm going to respond the way that I should. Hare tvuna zu, then this thought, mislabeches b'maisa dibu b'mashevas hatera misraseya, then this thought that I'm going to put myself into this in an enthusiastic way, even though I don't respond to it, actually, but I'm going to be as enthusiastic as I should be if I did respond, then this thought, mislabeches b'maisa dibu b'mashevas hatera misraseya, this thought puts itself into the action and speech and thought of the Torah and its mitzvahs, liyois lahem, in order to become for the mitzvah that you're doing, b'chinas moichin v'chayas, the mind and the feeling. You see, Rini, you're saying, what help is it doing the mitzvah if you don't feel it, if you're not thinking it? The fact that you've made the decision, you're going to do it in an enthusiastic way, that is the meaning. The fact that you are going to come as close as you can to Hashem, even though you don't feel this tremendous emotional reserve at this particular moment. And it becomes like wings, it becomes life force and wings. Leforcha le'ela, to fly upwards, ki ilu osik b'em b'tchilu rechima mamash Hashem b'skalas liboy. As if you were doing the mitzvah with real love and fear shining, revealed in one's heart. Now this is an extremely, extremely interesting idea. Okay, we're going to stop here, the Tanya. But next time, Hashem, we'll start over here and we'll be recapping certain things. But it's an extremely interesting idea that even if we don't feel the inspiration, we can act as if we do feel the inspiration. And that is our inner genuine quality. That's really where we are.